This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan and together with me are Dashran Johan and Limsu Ann. So we have two stories for you today. First up, Elon Musk recently showed off how his startup Neuralink has successfully implanted chips into the brain of several pigs with the hopes that these brain implants could someday be used in humans to cure diseases related to our nervous systems. But how far off into the future is this possibility? We'll be discussing that.
And then in our second story, contact languages are created when groups of people who speak different languages come together and create a new language from their own ones. And today, many contact languages around the world are at risk of dying out. And among the most endangered is Baba Malay, which originated in Malacca. So we'll be taking a look at contact languages and the challenges of preserving Baba Malay as a living language.
Yes. So, and we want to know your thoughts. So you can send them over by tweeting at us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp. Us 018-789-8899.
And now our first story. If you are a fan of science fiction, you've probably come across Elon Musk's latest news where he unveiled a pig which had a chip implanted into her brain. And if you haven't read about it, you might be thinking, was the pig alive? And the answer is yes. So Musk was doing a demo to show off how his brain tech startup, which is called Neuralink, had managed to successfully implant a chip into a pig's brain without any visible or obvious side effects to the pig's life and ability to be a pig.
And the demo was live streamed and involved several pigs, some of which have or had Neuralink implants. So the star of the show was Gertrude the pig, because Musk revealed that she has had an implant in her brain for 2 months. So if you watch the telecast, and I only watched parts of it where Musk was explaining the implants in the pig, you can't really see where the implant is.
And that's because the chip is actually the size of only a large coin, and it's actually fully embedded in the skull. So Musk even describes it, quote-unquote, like a Fitbit in your skull with tiny wires. So attached to the chip are over 1,000 thread-like flexible electrodes, and it extends into your cerebral cortex, which is the outer layer of your brain that's responsible for functions like motor control and sensory feedback. So that chip then amplifies the signals from your cortex and wirelessly relays them to a nearby computer. So these electrodes are carefully inserted into the brain by a surgical robot, and they can record these tiny electrical signals that are produced by the neurons.
Yeah, and if you watch the telecast, or at least the parts where he brings out the pigs, it took them a while to coax Gertrude out. But once they did and they switched on the computer, you could hear these little beeps that seems to coincide with particular movements that Gertrude makes. So these beeps were actually brain signals that the computer was receiving whenever Gertrude sniffed around the pen or ate some of the treats they were giving her. So, and that's because the chip was placed in a part of Gertrude's brain that connected to the neurons in her snout. And Musk also took the opportunity to show off a pig who had an implant but is now removed, which shows reversibility of the process. He also unveiled other pigs who had multiple implants to show that the process doesn't have to just involve one chip at a time.
Now, at this point, you might be asking why, right? Mm. Why go to such efforts to implant chips into the brains of pigs? Well, Musk initially started Neuralink in 2017, with the aim of allowing humans to merge with artificial intelligence. But in this recent demo, he now says that the company's goal is to, I'm quoting here, solve important spine and brain problems with a seamlessly implanted device. So he's toned it down quite a bit and set goals that are more realistic to one day do things like restoring movement for people who are paralyzed or perhaps to restore sight.
So now Neuralink didn't invent brain-computer interfaces, which really are just any device that's able to translate information from your neurons into commands that can control external software or hardware. So you can think of things like a computer or someone might have a robotic arm. So the work of Neuralink builds on decades of works from researchers in the field who have been studying brain-computer interfaces as well as other wireless implants, which have been tested before on other large mammals. So, for example, about a decade ago, there were scientists in Brown University in the US who had who developed a wireless neurosensor that could record neural activity from pigs and monkeys. And then just last year, there was also another group of scientists from the University of Bath in the UK that managed to create artificial neurons that weren't really implanted into the brain, but were said to be linked to parts of the nervous system and then linked to a computer.
And what Neuralink has done is simply a prototype, which is not ready to be scaled up into human trials just yet. Besides Neuralink, there are also other companies that are aiming to do similar brain-computer interface devices. For example, one company has a project which aims to restore communication to people who have lost the ability to speak or type, while another company is developing a helmet-like device to monitor brain signals in a non-invasive manner. So the demo that Elon Musk hosted was also aimed at recruiting potential scientists into their projects rather than a showcase of the chip itself. But devices such as this will likely be developed to become less invasive over time and could potentially benefit people who do need it.
Mm. So to help us connect these ideas to possible realities that we might see someday, we have on the line with us neurogeneticist Dr. Azina Ahmad Anwar. So thanks for joining us, Dr. Azina. To start with, you know, for the average person who is reading the news, when we come across reports such as this about Elon Musk unveiling pigs with chips in their brain, you know, sometimes you're not sure if they're simply sensationalizing this news or if something that's worth reporting. So for someone in the field, is it as exciting as the news reports make it seem?
Very exciting, because I think we can see the potential of it. Of course, you know, ultimately it's talking about, it would be how do we help humans who have lost a different brain function. So can we put in a chip that can kind of, you know, connect up the existing circuits that are still there and, you know, overcome any damaged areas. So very, very exciting.
So we are talking about living creatures, you know, whether humans or animals. Could you help us understand how something like a computer chip would be able to function together with the human body?
Well, if you look at the brain as in a very simplistic form, as just being a connection of neurons that talk to each other. And you can actually model that. You can replicate that in the computer. So like an artificial intelligence. So we know how, if you can understand how a group of neurons are talking to each other, you can actually, you know, do that on a computer program and get the same outcome. So that has been done before. So this is just a much larger extension of that understanding that you can get computer chips, right? A circuit of electrodes, basically, to replace neurons. Because neurons, in a very simple way, is just a unit, okay, that transmits information. It transmits information. Most of them transmitted. There's an electrical impulse that then causes chemical neurotransmitters to be released at one end, right? So it's actually the neurotransmitters that relay the information from one neuron to another. But the neuron itself runs that using an electrical impulse. So you could very easily use, engineering to make an artificial neuron.
And so how far away do you think we are from regular clinical use of something like this chip or other similar devices in human beings?
Well, there have been some examples already actually being done in the clinic. So I've seen quite a number of videos. I haven't read the papers, but I've seen the videos where, you know, people have these kind of bionic arms, and just by the power of thought, they're able to move the arm and to grasp objects. So it's not that too far away. And I think that's wonderful, you know, to people who have had a stroke, for example, or brain damage. You know, it's really something to look forward to. Whether how immediate It would be, to the majority of patients, probably not that immediate, because these are still, I think, concepts that are still being tested out in these labs and probably quite expensive as well. I mean, from one example is in Parkinson's disease, you can put in a kind of a stimulator, I suppose you can call it, a stimulator in the brain, which will stimulate the neurons that are there, which will then cause them to function, okay, in order to enable the person to move, right? You have neurons that are in your brain that then control other neurons in your spinal cord, which then control your muscles, okay? In those circumstances, that is already quite an established medical intervention or treatment, okay, that you can give people with Parkinson's disease. It's called deep brain stimulation, or DBS, and so that is routinely offered now. So that is an example quite similar to that. But I suppose what Elon Musk is trying to do is perhaps something a little bit more, imaginative. Maybe it's more in terms of not just controlling movement, but controlling thoughts, you know, thoughts of behavior and, you know, things like that. And that, of course, will be an ethical issue.
That's right. But when you're talking about putting chips in your brain, is there a possibility that, like a computer chip, that this could be hacked too?
Yeah, so that's all. I mean, anything that you put in to the brain that's not naturally there, of course, there is a risk that somebody could hack it, for example, you know. Of course, in the future, that's possible. Mm. Yeah, but of course, but also, you know, we also need to consider that in the future, the people who are making these chips will also be able to engineer them, that they will be, they can be protected against those kind of typical hacks that we are familiar with in terms of like our computers.
So hacks aside, what are the other concerns or perhaps challenges in doing more experiments or moving to regular clinical use of something like this chip in humans?
I suppose what is the purpose of it, right? That's always going to be the key thing. If you are wanting to use it in a clinical practice, you need to have ethical approval. So is it proven to going to be beneficial to the patients? And are you sure that it's not going to cause any harm? And is there... And is it for a specific purpose, right? So, for example, if somebody said to you, well, I'm going to put a chip into the patient's brain, it's mainly going to control their behavior, but maybe I might also be able to make them, think differently, right? So then in that case, of course, then you wouldn't be approved. So it's really, you know, what is the intention of the use for this technology? I spoke to my younger son about this, and I told him, what do you think about it? And he said, leave the pigs alone. And I said to him, well, you know, what if the pigs actually have the potential to become more, right? And would you not want to explore that? And, you know, and I think therein lies the unease, you know, of the public, where you can see the benefit on one hand, especially in medicine, but you also are a bit worried and, you know, about where can it go? Can it be misused? But also, especially in this case, if you're doing it on animals, you know, is it ethical to subject the animals to that kind of procedure? So that was the concern my son had.
Thanks for taking the time to speak to us, Dr. Azlina. That was neurogeneticist Dr. Azlina Ahmad Anwar, and she also has a regular series with us on the Health and Living segment called Brainwaves. And she actually spoke about something similar to this on one of her previous shows. They were talking about bionic neurons, so you can look that up. But you know, her next episode is also airing next Tuesday, so you want to stay tuned for that on Tuesday at 4 p.m.
Well, that's it on that segment. But of course, we'll definitely bring you more updates as and when there are on Elon Musk's next great adventure. But you can continue to tweet us your thoughts at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We'll be back after a short break. But first, here's The Future is Here by Sleater Kinney, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.